Books of the Bible. The book of Numbers tells the story of Israel's wandering in the desert for 40 years. The journey from Egypt to Canaan should have only taken 11 days, but Israel's grumbling and disobedience angered God, and none of the Israelites were allowed to enter the promised land. But God remained faithful and led their children into their inheritance. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
People are looking for something. The question is, what are we going to give them? This is Wretched Radio. The seeker-sensitive movement of evangelicalism surveyed the society that said, we want amusements. We gave it to them. It appears to work. Goats love to be entertained. But what we are seeing inside of American religion, not just evangelicalism, but every world religion that is holding on to traditions that are doing historic things like, you know, crazy things like, I don't know, reading the Apostles' Creed, perhaps citing the Nicene Creed and hearing, wait a second, you mean Christians have actually been saying this for like 1700 years? Whoa, we got rid of all of that. Well, that's dead orthodoxy, we said. And so we let it all go, and we lost the hymns that date back to the 700s. There are rich hymns that nobody even touches these days because they're put on the shelf because they're just considered old. But it appears that that is precisely what people are longing for. Varying degrees of education, but not everybody is duped. Not everybody sees the shenanigans inside of evangelicalism and goes, yeah, I'm on to that. Some people love it, but a lot of people are like, really? That's supposed to be an expression of the divine? Nah. And where do they go looking? The Roman Catholic Church, Eastern Orthodoxy. And as we're going to hear, witchcraft, wokeness on the rise. They want something that's more demanding. They want something that says, no, you can't live like that. Instead, you need to live like this. And yep, you really do need to get up every Sunday morning. And yep, you really do need to be involved in the life of the church. And yep, you need to become a member. And yep, we'll discipline you if you find yourself straying. We'll come and rescue you. It turns out that people are actually kind of digging that. I can't cite for you the article that I was reading, but it stated something that I thought was compelling, that evangelical Christianity, the waning side of evangelical Christianity, it is the conservative churches that are growing in evangelicalism. It's not the nonsense centers. No, it's the conservative wing. And one of the critiques of evangelicalism, oh, I know, I got it. It's a book. A woman wrote a book on deconstructionism, and she was raised an evangelical, and it was really mostly about politics in their house and conformity and the purity culture, and she jettisoned that. She wasn't saved, and so she deconstructed, and she tried to go about the business in a book of explaining why so many people are doing this and perhaps giving some tips on how to go about doing it. And she, it was a bit of a throwaway line in an interview. She said that other religions have traditions. Other religions have certain expectations. Other religions, they will have rites, ceremonies. Evangelicalism, no, don't take this the wrong way. Evangelicalism only has doctrine. Now, that we all know that doctrine is huge. The point and the observation of this individual was these other religions, they have a center that's bigger than a statement of faith. Now, please note, I'm not suggesting that rites, rituals, ceremonies, traditions, that it gets or keeps anybody saved, but it does keep people involved, and it does attract people who are looking for something that is a little bit older than the 1980s. They like it, and they return to it. Well, I remember reading this years ago, that the Roman Catholic Church was experiencing a bit of a renaissance of younger people who were coming back. Do you remember the big campaign, Come Home? It worked. People came home. And the number one reason that I recall people citing for returning to the Roman Catholic Church is because it was familiar. I knew what to expect. Stand up, sit down, do the chant. And it felt good. It felt comfortable. Ask yourself the question, do you have anything that is repeated in your church from week to week? Anything? Now, I'm not making the case that this is what makes a religion. I'm saying that people, they want that. Why did we lose that? Because we didn't think people wanted it. We misread the culture. In a trendy moment, we said amusement is what they require, and it's not what they're after. And the systems that have nothing that people can expect. So you go to the one of these churches that does Aerosmith or Journey or Queen worship. What are we getting this week? I don't know. Maybe a 90s musical montage. Maybe, I don't know, do you think that they're going to do the new Netflix movie? I have no idea what they're going to get. And it's just this song, that song. And as soon as this song is older than a minute, we jettison it to go to the new song because we got to stay up to date, Daddy-O. And all of the statistics indicate it's not what people want. And we evangelicals would do well to consider, do we have anything that is connecting us to the past? Consider your own worship service. What will people hear week in and week out? Anything? Most likely not. And the reason was that people, they'll get bored. They don't want to say the Nicene Creed every week. It gets too predictable, and hence dead orthodoxy was the label that got slapped onto anybody who held on to anything old. Maybe it's time to rethink things. And I don't think that suddenly pastors need to don black robes. If you want to, you sure can. I get why some religions do that, really based on the old temple system with the priestly garbs. I get it. I'm not saying it's mandated for us. We're not under that covenant or underneath that legislation. But was it worth nothing? Did it indicate nothing? That those people up there were set apart for that service? And that we don't look upon the man, what he's wearing, how fashionable he is or isn't, is his shirt pressed, but instead we just see somebody in clerical garb who's doing the religious leading of the ceremony. So I'm not saying we had to do that, but what could we do as a church? What could we be doing? Yeah, okay, you don't want to go all the way back to the 300s? All right, how's about some of the confessions? Pick your favorite, Westminster, London Baptist, New Hampshire Baptist. Incorporate that into your church service. The question and answer. And by the way, I got to tell, sorry, Alpharetta Bible Church. Don't tell Jason I said this, but he leads the liturgy of the service and he will incorporate confessional questions and answers. And he leaves the Bible verses that are cited. So it'll be a basic question. Okay, what is the chief end of man? To glorify God and enjoy him forever. And then it'll have like 12 Bible verses underneath. Now, do we use those Bible verses? No. What's the message? That statement that was written about 500 years ago, it's baked in the Bible. It's scripture saturated. And that confession reflects what the New Testament teaches us. And so we'll ask a question and an answer. Or we'll do an older confession, or we will, a catechism. Grab a catechism question. And maybe instead of shying away, we're coming into what we call Holy Week. How's about finding some of those old hymns and telling people we're singing along with the saints from centuries ago, stricken, smitten, and afflicted. See him dying on a tree. 'Tis the Christ by man rejected. Yes, my soul, 'tis he, 'tis he. You're singing the same lyrics that people have sung for centuries. And I'm telling you, people like it. Furthermore, people need it. Furthermore, what kind of a slap in the face is it to every century that has come before us that we simply pay no attention to. They had nothing to offer. They didn't do anything good. We're the ones who create everything that is contemporary Christianity. Well, I think we need to stop being contemporary Christianity. And again, I'm not suggesting that you get rid of the band and put in a pipe organ as much as I'd like to. I'm not saying that. But I am challenging all of us to consider what might we be doing in our worship services that does indeed honor the saints that came before us. And how does it connect people to something richer and deeper? And how does it actually bring peace to people who are living in turbulent times? If this world is anything, it is trendy. It is 3 seconds TikTok trendy. It is you, next. And that's what we evangelicals have been doing for far too long. Now, I'm not saying you need to suddenly sound like you're a church from the 800s. But I do believe that the evidence is in this current model. It ain't doing what it's purported to do. It might attract people for a bit, but it doesn't keep them. And it doesn't grow them. This is Wretched Radio.
Hey, thank you so much for listening to Wretched Radio today. We certainly appreciate you. We appreciate your time. And we appreciate all of you who have given to this ministry over the years. Without your support, we couldn't do the things that we're able to do here. So we are tickled pink that you're a part of it. Now, I do want to speak to those of you that have given to us before, but maybe something came up in your life where you had to stop giving for a period of time. Nobody understands that better than we do. But I would ask that if you are able to maybe possibly join us again as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, we would definitely welcome you back with open arms. We've got some exciting things on the horizon we can't wait to tell you about, and we would not be able to do those things that we've got coming up without your support. So if you're in a place in your life where you could join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, we would love for you to prayerfully consider doing that. All the answers to any questions you might possibly have about what this would look like is available at wretched.org/donate. Wretched. Amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Record number of children are attending the Tomorrow Clubs in Africa. You should see the videos. Hundreds of kids run to meet at a Tomorrow Club in Africa. Why? Because Tomorrow Clubs, they're weekly kids meeting clubs where the kids, yep, they get some treats, but they get the gospel. They get the Bible. They get Bible memorization. Remember, we used to force our kids to do that, but now that we're oppressors, we don't want to be toxic and make our kids memorize Bible verses when it's about a gazillion times easier than when you get old. And they worship the Lord, they pray together, and they get loved on. Tomorrow Clubs, I'm telling you, record-breaking. The images are so encouraging, so cool, and I would encourage you to consider being a Tomorrow Club partner. $1 per child per month. Encourage you to please consider supporting the great ministry, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Well, in a world that is undeniably cluttered with quick fixes and superficial solutions, now comes a journey into the heart of real change. I'm talking about Transformed Season 3. It's finally here, and we're inviting you into the lives of individuals that are facing the giants of fear and guilt and grief. But hey, there's a twist. These aren't your typical battles. These battles have been fought with the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith. You'll witness loneliness and overeating and relational tension met with grace, truth, and love that can only come from the one who knows us the best. This season's not just about watching others, it's about seeing yourself and your struggles and the path to true transformation through biblical counseling. We'll together dive deep into the heart of what it means to be transformed. Transformed Season 3 can be found right now at wretched.org/transformed3.
Revelation. God has revealed himself through many means, including the conscience. God has given each person a conscience so that they can understand his moral standard and their failure to keep that standard. While the conscience can be deadened and twisted by sin, every human being has an innate knowledge of God's law. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
No, no, please don't thank me. Thank Jimmy.
Laodicea Records presents the next album in the classic rock worship series, Journey Worship.
Got the word faith in it. I get it.
To heaven as you surrender to God and worship, led by Journey.
That's an altar call song.
Go back to your youth, as Steve Perry reminds us to have faith like a child. Ecclesiastes says, the sun rises and the sun goes down and hastens to the place where it rises.
Oh!
Journey will help you to keep on believing the gospel.
There it is!
Come on a journey. Pick up your copy today.
No wonder why bad religions are growing. This is Wretched Radio. American Spectator dedicating an article to religion, delivering some statistics that frankly shouldn't be a shocker, maybe starting with the Wizard of Oz. Oh, she's such a wonderful witch, that witch from the north. No, she was a witch. And it is by definition not good. Then, of course, you had, oh, what was her name? Montgomery. Elizabeth Montgomery. Bewitched. She was a witch, a mortal witch. And her mother, Endora. And it made witchery so amusing and sitcom-y. And then, of course, there was Harry Potter, the juggernaut that was the introduction to millions for a wonderful, enjoyable, amusing, adventurous sort of witchcraft. And the results are being seen in the statistics. $2.3 billion in psychic services are provided every year. $2.3 billion. It employs 96,909 Americans, most of whom are women, and attracts 15% of Americans as customers. In other words, they're going to get their fortune told. They do some divination. In other words, they're doing the stuff that God absolutely hates. Permit me to share with you God's heart on the subject of witchcraft. It isn't something that he's still considering to try to figure out where he lands on the subject. It is something that he despises. Numbers, Deuteronomy. Now, some radio programs, they'd actually get the Bible verses ready in advance. Apparently, they prepare. The point is, in Deuteronomy 18, there we see what God's attitude is toward wicked customs. When you come into the land, speaking to his chosen people, which the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not learn to follow the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or daughter pass through the fire, or one who practices witchcraft, or a soothsayer. Could God be any clearer? Don't think so. Or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who conjures spells, or a medium, or a spiritist. It's just piling up the wood, just driving the nail in. I hate this. I hate this. I hate this. I hate this. Any expression of witchcraft, divination, sorcery, it's an abomination to him. For all who do these things, including calling on the dead, are an abomination to the Lord. And because of these abominations, there were others, the Lord your God drives them out from before you. You shall be blameless before the Lord your God. For these nations which you will dispossess, listen to soothsayers and diviners, and to J.K. Rowling. Okay, this must be a contemporary version of the Bible, but it might actually just fit in there. Back to the statistics of witchcraft. It is a monster. Mediumship accounts for a quarter of the market share, while palm reading, tarot card reading, and animal communication each comprise about 20%. Then you've got aura reading, astrology, and other practices make up the rest. The financial outlook is very positive, according to a research company, Ibis World. Both revenue and market share are projected to increase over the next 5 years. As Christianity abates, as the evangelical silly centers continue with their revolving door of amusements and entertainments, continue to just spit people out, and they go about the business of deconstructing, usually online. I'm not suggesting they're just looking for attention. We see a growth in other religions too, and people are flocking to the dark side. On Etsy alone, there are 39,000 psychic readings, 57,000 divination tools. I'm surprised these aren't brought into prosperity churches so you can divine God's will for your life. I'll bet that, Jimmy, if I were a betting man, I'll bet that already exists.
I'm sure it does.
Those guys say, hey, God, you got to figure out God's still small voice. You got to hear how we speak. You got to divine God's will for your life. One of the most frustrating and, dare I say, cruel practices in evangelicalism, that you got to find out God's will for your life. You got to read the signs, man. You got to be on the lookout. You got to listen. You got to know how to distinguish his voice, because it might not be his voice. It could just be your thoughts or Satan. And how do people then live in a shroud of mystery, not knowing which foot to put forward next? What am I supposed to do? What should I do for a career? Find out God's will for your life. That's not the way to do it. You want to find out God's will for your life? Read your Bible. Do what it says. Make decisions. Get godly counsel. That's God's will for your life. And the Bible has everything you need to make each and every one of those decisions. And the prosperity movement, a lot of evangelical churches teach this. You got to figure out God's will. You got to divine it somehow. I wouldn't be shocked if some of those churches don't employ some of these witchcraft tools to divine. 57,000 divination tools, 78,000 tarot readings and divinations. This is on Etsy. 99,000 Reiki and chakras. She had a great voice, that Chakra Khan. She was amazing. You can buy all of those things. And then you can watch videos on TikTok. Witch Talk is the hashtag, has received more than 52B, as in Boulder Dash, billion views. Barnes & Noble now sells more than 29,000 products under the category New Age and Alternative Beliefs, including 200 unique decks of tarot cards. Witchcraft is now a popular theme of children's fiction. In other words, it's on the rise. It has been popularized. And so too has the religion of wokeness. Again, from the American Spectator, calling it a religion. And you say, wait a second, wokeness isn't a religion. Well, it has all of the hallmarks of religion, and it's popular. Here's what this fellow said. Wokeness is a modern religion. It offers no origin story. Unlike all major religions, it has no system of moral values. The woke define goodness only in negative terms. It offers no affirmation or redemption, nor does it offer true divinity. And yet people worship it, don't they? Sorry, people do. This hurts. They do have a God-shaped hole in their heart. We were created to worship. All things were made for him, by him, through him. And that includes us. You and I were designed, programmed to worship the true and living God. And when we don't, we just feel this long, we got to worship something. Well, there's got to be something bigger than me here. And what do people glom onto? Well, it appears witchcraft and wokeism. What's more, the woke religion lacks perhaps the most important element that the world's greatest religions offer. Love. Now that's interesting, isn't it? How nasty wokeism can be. If you are out of step, even one little misstep, you aren't shown the love, you're shown the door. The closest thing to the love of God offered by wokeness is the worship of victimhood. What do we take away from that? What do we see in the trends of social studies indicating what people are longing for and looking for? Well, I think that we can observe and come to some conclusions, but I think that we need to make sure that they are subservient to what the Bible teaches. How will people know that we are Christians? What will people be attracted to? Why should people see a Christian and not Samantha or Harry Potter and think that's the better choice? The question is, do they know we are Christians by our love, by our love? Do they see that? Do they hear that? When we publicly talk about one another, do they get the sense, hey, they love one another? Or do they perhaps even visit your church and maybe don't receive a very loving, warm welcome and conclude, I guess I got to keep looking because my heart is restless and I ain't finding it here. We're not going to let social studies reign in the church, but maybe, just maybe, they can give us a little jolt to consider what the Bible demands of the Christian church. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.